This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program encourages you, blesses you, and perhaps even challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, BDC Ministries, one word, BDCMinistries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also get other information, a prophetic chart, questions and answers, as well as testimonies on that site. Now, if you have comments you'd like to make about the program or prayer requests, you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, today we're going to continue our journey through the Bible, giving you a little synopsis of the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans is the first really expository book written explaining the gospel as it applies particularly to the Gentiles in this book. We say we're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, here is where Paul, one of the apostles, or an apostle, he says who was born out of due season, but one of the apostles begins to put the whole Bible together for us, the New Testament and the Old Testament, and explains how it fits. And in the gospel to the Romans, he is explaining the gospel to those who are called saints, so they may be saved, but they still need to understand what they have believed when they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, I'm trying to help you with a little background so that when you read the book of the Romans, it will make sense to you, and I hope that you will read it. It's 16 chapters. The only other epistle that's 16 chapters is 1 Corinthians. So it's one of our longer epistles, but it is the epistle to people like us explaining the gospel to us. And it's a book that is very helpful in explaining the gospel to others like us. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek or the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Now that's from the faith of the Jew to the faith of the Gentile. "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." And he's basically saying there's going to be no difference between the Jew and the Gentile in the way the righteousness of God is revealed. "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." And that's one of the key statements in the book of Romans. The just shall live by faith is found once in the Old Testament and three times in the New Testament. And it's saying that those of us who are right with God have been justified by God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. And so Romans really is explaining what it means to be just or what it means to be righteous. And he explains in the first three chapters that we're not righteous by what we are in Adam or in our first birth, because we were born sinners and we needed to be saved. Chapters 1 through 3 deal with that issue. And it shows how that everyone at one time knew there was a creator God that they were accountable to, but they turned away from him. They have creation and they have their conscience, even if they don't have a Bible to convince them of the reality of accountability to a living God. But in chapter 3, we have that verse, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's a very difficult thing for some people to accept and to understand, that all have sinned. And it doesn't mean all except you. It means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in that chapter, it also tells us that God is just, and he's the justifier of the one who believes in or trusts in Jesus. So we find out that we're all condemned, and chapter 3 is really a courtroom scene where we find out the charges are laid against us. And the judge, who's the Lord Jesus, takes those charges and says, you're guilty. But then he steps down from the bench and asks us, the guilty sinner, to step aside. And he is the one who willingly bears our sin. He's the one who atones for our sin by ultimately, he did that through going to the cross, by being buried and being raised again the third day from the dead. And so he's just, and they're justified. He takes our place, in other words. And it's the judge who has the right to condemn us, who stands at our place so that we don't need to be condemned, but it only does us good if we live by faith. And that means that we trust in the Lord Jesus. And we trust in the Lord Jesus when we trust in what the living Word of God says about him. And in Romans, we find out that he died for sinners, that God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he dies for us. He stands in our place. In chapters 4 and 5 of Romans, we come to Abraham, who is the father of faith in the Bible. He's the one who was justified again by faith. But as we look at him, in Romans 4, verse 3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God had said he was going to give him a miraculous son in his old age, and that he was going to populate Israel through those sons. And even though there was a period of time where it looked like the promises made to Abraham could not physically be fulfilled, they were fulfilled. Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, he had righteousness counted to him. Abraham had his problems. He made mistakes. He was a sinner like the rest of us. But his faith was what God looked at, and it was his trust in the Lord, in the coming Lord Jesus, really, but his trust in the living God, in Jehovah, that gave him the righteousness that he needed. And the whole point is that when we try to obtain a righteous life and live in such a way that God will accept us, God points out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. But when we trust or have faith in the living God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he gives us our righteousness, and we are clothed in his righteousness, not in our own righteousness. Then we come to chapter 6, which shows that when we come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we change masters. Our old master is sin. Our new master is Christ. The old master wants to give us what we deserve. Romans 6:23 kind of concludes this section by saying, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we change masters. The old master wants us to earn wages. And when we earn the wages that we deserve or that we earn, when sin is our master, which is really the devil, sin is really a way of talking about the devil here. When sin is our master, we get wages, and the wages that we get is death. But God frees us from that. The free gift, the charisma of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope you're enjoying that eternal life today. We come to chapter 7 and 8, and we have a discussion of what the law has done and what grace has done, what the Holy Spirit has done. And we find out that the Holy Spirit is what brings us to the Lord, gives us understanding, intercedes for us. And it's the Holy Spirit that indwells us once we are saved, that gives us the ability to live for the Lord and to enjoy his presence and to be confident that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a verse that says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, but it really should read, we know that all these things that are associated with the work of the Holy Spirit work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Chapters 9 through 11 deal with Paul's concern for Israel. Even though he went to the Jew first and then to the Greek, he knows that God has not forgotten his own people. And he deals with that in these chapters. But then we come to chapters 12 through 15, and it's interesting that we find that after we have changed masters, after we have trusted in Christ, after we have been justified, then at that point we can consecrate ourselves. Many people make that consecration upon their coming to faith, but many people don't really consecrate their lives until later. People say they give their life to the Lord and they think that's salvation, but it's really something that only a Christian can do. And Paul says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so a Christian has the ability to give his life to the Lord. Then in chapter 16, we find out that there is a commendation of a woman by the name of Phoebe, and it's because of Phoebe that likely this letter was written. She was apparently traveling to Rome, and Paul wanted her to be introduced in a right way, and he wanted them to help her, and so he's giving her an accommodation, and she's been a helper of many. And then he greets the others that he knows are at Rome. And so he's used this commendation of Phoebe to give a doctrinal explanation of the gospel to the Romans. And so as we look at the book of the Romans, I hope you understand that it's written to you and to me. If you're saved, it'll help you to understand what you have in Christ. If you're not saved, you still need to come to Christ and trust in him, because the just shall live by faith. Romans 10 makes it clear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you're not saved, if you read this book and believe it, you'll get promises that you can believe, and you'll have the ability to stand firm on those promises and know that you are saved for eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless those who have listened. Guide our leaders during this pandemic. Preserve our listeners from the disease. Bless those who are serving at their own peril at this time. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.